Let's open to Genesis chapter 2. This has been a verse that just really been contemplating for a little bit now, and it's been a blessing to my soul and hopefully likewise to yours. And we'll kind of build from Genesis chapter 2. But Genesis chapter 2, and also I am reading out of my NASB. This was the smallest Bible I had, and it was the easiest one to pack. So NASB is the version I'm reading out of this morning. So Genesis 2, and we'll just start at verse 1. And so the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their heavenly hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is something that I've gone to back several times, and this is really a subject of what I want to talk about this morning for a little while, is rest. And I've often come to Genesis chapter 2, and you think of the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, there is no limit to his power, and then right off the start, you get to Genesis chapter 2, and it said God rested. So, what does that really mean? What is God doing when he rests here? So, something that just has been impressed upon my heart, and really understanding why God did this and what this truly means. And so we come to here. This is the end of God's creation of this wonderful world, and it's so wonderful and marvelous as I look out, and even just coming here to Australia, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the last two mornings here. Only been here for two mornings, but just the birds. I love the birds. Like I'm such my grandmother's grandson. She was a bird lover, but just to listen to those birds and just all the different noises, and it's so beautiful. And to look at God's creation and be the word I want to really consider today is satisfaction. To be satisfied, and it's so wonderful to be satisfied with God's creation and the birds singing and the beautiful weather. And We're a mountain family. We love going to the mountains in America and just climbing and just seeing the absolute awesomeness of a mountain peak and just climbing there and just soaking in, just resting, being satisfied with what God has created for us to view. And I just think so wonderful. And coming here to Genesis chapter 2, we have God resting. And I've often read that and like, was God tired when he got done creating the world? No, God was not tired. But what God saw on the seventh day, we have going through each day, is that it was good. It was good. It was very good. And then we have the seventh day, and God resting. God being completely satisfied in a finished work. And I'm so thankful today that I can rest looking out into what our Creator has done for us. He has created this marvelous creation, and from America to Australia and everywhere in between, it's so wonderful just to soak in his creation. And just thinking of science and physics and all these things that go into what God has created, and I can't remember if it was one of my daughters or what, but just explaining some of the just intricacies and the perfection of how God has created this world, about the curvature of the earth and how perfectly curved it is. And if it was a little bit flatter, or if it was a little bit more curved, it couldn't sustain life. And here we are, we're living in comfort, and God is sustaining our life in this perfect creation that he's had. Now, we know that sin has entered in, and there is corruption, there is sin, and there is death. But when God, on the seventh day, looked at what he had done, he was completely satisfied in what he had finished. And I just think that's so wonderful. And even today, even with sin entering in, even with sin-tainted eyes, I can still look out into God's creation. And what a beautiful thing he has shown us and given us, and just soak it up and just... So, being satisfied. I can be satisfied in God's creation because God himself was satisfied in it, and he was satisfied with a finished work. So, as I go through the scriptures and I understand this word rest, and I understand being God being satisfied, God was satisfied in his creation on day seven. What else is God satisfied? It's just wonderful to look at. And like I said, this subject is so vast, it's so wonderful, but I just want to bring out a couple points in scripture of God being satisfied and how that can affect us in our daily life, our everyday life of being satisfied with what God is satisfied with. So with that, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And I just want to consider one verse here. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll just read verse 11. Isaiah 53 and 11, and it says, "As a result of the anguish of his soul," now this is Isaiah prophesying of a future day, of when the Lord Jesus Christ himself would be offered on the cross of Calvary. So Isaiah 53 and 11 says, "As a result of the anguish of his soul," that's the Lord Jesus, "he," God, "will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, for he will bear their wrongdoings." And actually, let's just for that, let's also turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 is just one verse there as well. Verse 30. In relation to the work of the cross. And John 19 and verse 30 says, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." So when it comes to God being satisfied, it's just a wonder that I can even be here this morning to share these words and to understand that God is satisfied with a work that I didn't accomplish. And I am standing here before you, and God looks upon me, and he is satisfied not with what I have done, but with what his Son has done. And when we go to the cross and we see what the Lord Jesus accomplished, it's very interesting to even... to look even before the cross, really, I'm going to take just a step back, and we see the Lord Jesus coming into the earth, and Clive's already reminded us that, a little of that this morning, and the Lord Jesus coming in, and when he starts his public ministry, it's just interesting to look at what God has to say about his Son. He's the Lord Jesus being baptized by John, and he comes out of the water, and, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well-pleased." This is before he did a single miracle. This is before he did all of his teaching. This is before he went to the cross. God could look upon, the Father could look upon his Son. "This is a man. I am satisfied. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And it's just so wonderful to be able to look at the Lord Jesus and understand that everything that he did was satisfying to his Father. Everything, fully, perfectly, in the will of the Father. And God, his Father, was satisfied in that. But we come to the cross, and the cross is so special to us. And it's so special in the fact that we can stand here redeemed. I can stand before you, an American before Australians, with this common thing of, "The Lord Jesus Christ took my place." At the cross of Calvary, I can stand here redeemed. The Lord Jesus went there, and God saw the travail of his soul. He saw the suffering. He saw the anguish. And when the Lord Jesus was there upon the cross, taking upon himself my sin and the sin of the world. And God could unleash in three dark hours the full weight, the full wrongdoing, all of my iniquity and all of your iniquity, the judgment that is due for my sin. He fully endured it there upon the cross in his human body. And God, in that work, the Lord Jesus Christ, after those three dark hours, he could cry, "It is finished." And that brings us right back to Genesis 2. God saw his creation. God saw that it was good. And God was satisfied in what he had done. And he was finished. It was done. God saw what happened at the cross. God knew fully what had taken place there, what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for the world, for me, in placing my sin upon him. And it is just a thrill and a joy and an amazement to my mind and to my heart and to my soul that God was satisfied with that work. Satisfied for my sin. Satisfied that now I can be here redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's easy to just almost skim over that and just say God was sick, but the immensity, I just wish I could understand it more, to like take it in more, that the Lord Jesus Christ did it all for me. And it was finished. There was nothing else that needed to be done. And God was satisfied with that. He was satisfied in his son and the work that his son had finished. And it's just a joy to my soul. It's a wonder to my soul. But not only that, let's keep going. Let's keep going in Ephesians chapter 1. The Father being satisfied with the work of the cross and what was accomplished there on our behalf. And not even on our behalf, to redeem all things, all creation. The creation that he made perfect and that has been tainted by the corruption of sin. Christ, in his work, did everything needed to redeem back creation itself and to redeem us. So God saw that and was satisfied with the finished work of the cross. But it wasn't just in his death. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's start at verse 18. Ephesians 1 and 18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And a surety for us, a solid foundation for us, is not only did Christ satisfy the Father on the cross, God on the cross, how do we know for sure? Even if you didn't have Isaiah 53, even if you did, how do we know that God was satisfied what was accomplished at the cross? It's because God rose him from the dead. And now we have a risen, glorified man in heaven at his right hand. And he was satisfied enough with that work and with his son that he has given him a name which is above every name. And that at that name, there is coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So God is satisfied. The Father is satisfied with his son, satisfied with a finished work at the cross, satisfied that he rose him from the dead and we have a resurrected Savior, satisfied with the person of his son and with his name, that he has given him a name above every name and has seated him as right. And it's a tangent we could go on, but would take too long. But just the thought of Hebrews would bring out of him sitting and how bringing us back to the old system of the Levitical priesthood. And there was no sitting for the priests. You were always standing. You were, because the work was never done. Well, Christ sat down. The work was finished. And now we have a finished work. Something that God is satisfied in. How about me? How about myself? How about you today? Are you satisfied with what God has accomplished on your behalf? And sometimes it's, we can go about our days and we can appreciate that, yes, and we can come like a morning on a Sunday morning and gather around and we can thank Him and we can appreciate that, but what about a Tuesday evening when the week is already long and it feels like you're down in the dumps, when you feel just not well? Or maybe that relationship you had with a dear brother or sister has gone a little sour. Maybe you got that diagnosis that cancer. Or maybe you've had a dear friend pass away and you think, how can I be satisfied right now? So let's turn to, there's so many scripture we could do, but this one, Romans chapter 8, just kind of came to my mind as I was thinking of this. In Romans chapter 8, and we're just going to read several verses here real quick. Romans chapter 8, and we'll just read verse 28, and I think I'll read down to the end of the chapter. Romans 8 and 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined, conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justifies, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, but rather was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or trouble, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conqueror through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And just thinking of these truths and many truths throughout the entirety of the Bible, and in God being satisfied with what He has done, what He has finished on our behalf. And as we go about our days, and as we experience life, and as we, the highs and the lows, and to sit and to just ponder His creation, ponder the cross, ponder the resurrection, ponder that whatever may come our way, are we satisfied with God, with what God really wants us to be satisfied in? Are we going to the things of the world to be satisfied with those? And there are things in that God has given us that we can be satisfied in. It's not called tea time in America, but tea time, like it's something that can satisfy us. The fellowship, the food, like it can be satisfying. Those are things that God has given us to satisfy us. But when it comes down to the longing of our soul, the longing of what God wants of us is to be satisfied in Him, in Christ Jesus, in His finished work, in what He has done on our behalf every day. And whatever rolls our way, and whatever diagnosis, whatever it may be, we can be satisfied in what God has done on our behalf, and what He has done through His Son, and what we can, through His Son, be satisfied in. It is something that can be such a joy, and such, even our family, even in the past year and a half or two, to just be able to, in the unknowns of life, God, what would You have us to do? What in this situation? We have nothing that can satisfy. We have not, what is happening here? And we can go to God, and we can just, what does He really ever ask us to do? Just trust Him. Trust, can I rest in what God has for me today? What God will have for me tomorrow? I can rest in it. I can be satisfied what God has for me this very moment. And when you can rest, it gives peace. It gives joy. It gives that longing that our soul is so eagerly wanting, that satisfaction that only God can give. And I want to read one more verse before I finish. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Being satisfied with what God has done in the past, what God is doing now, and I want to just set our hope on the future. 1 John 3. Let's read verse 2 and 3. So 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope set on Him purifies himself just as he is pure. When He appears, we will be like Him, and we will see Him as He is. That's something that, as we go through life, and as we look forward, as we look forward to something to satisfy the deep longing of our soul, there's coming a day where He is going to come back, and we will see Him as He is. And this truth has just overwhelmed me at times, that in this frame of mind, that is this man that I am, in all my frailties and all my failures, there is coming a day where I am going to be just like Him. That is something that can satisfy us through eternity, and it can satisfy us now. God sees fit in His Son, and God is going to see fit that we are going to be just like Him, and we will see Him as He is. That is a satisfaction that should carry us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, into eternity, that we will see Him and that we will be just like Him. So with just these few thoughts that I've had on my heart, just enjoying them, and just maybe some of them are simple, but yeah, the profoundness of God being satisfied. God satisfied in a finished work. God satisfied in His Son. And what can we be satisfied in? What can we be satisfied in right now? It's in Him. And what can we look forward to? satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're going to see Him and we're going to be just like Him. I'll just close with a word of prayer.